16, the Bible said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us tonight. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach, wisdom to impart. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, thou shalt not bear false witness. People say, the Bible teaches, thou shalt not lie. Well, that's true. But boy, is that ever an oversimplification of not bearing false witness. Just to walk up and tell a blatant, bald-faced lie is one thing. But you can bear false witness in any number of ways. And so we're going to talk about some of those. I want to read you something Matthew Henry wrote. He lived in the 17th century, the late 1600s. And they just had a way of saying things. I love to read those old guys. Because when you get through reading them, you don't have any doubt about what they're saying. I mean, they just have a unique way of expressing themselves. And Matthew Henry wrote this about, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Speaking falsely in any matter, lying, equivocating, and any way devising and designing to deceive our neighbor, speaking unjustly against our neighbor to the prejudice of his reputation, bearing false witness against him, laying to his charge things that he knows not, either judicially or in common converse, slandering, backbiting, tale-bearing, aggravating what is done amiss, and making it worse than it is, and in any way endeavoring to raise our own reputation upon the ruin of our neighbors." I don't leave a lot to be said, does it? I mean, well, you better watch that tongue. Bearing false witness is not just what you and I would call bald-faced lying or a big old whopper. It's any kind of an innuendo or a slander or a misrepresentation or an over-exaggeration to a circumstance or a situation that leads or leaves a false impression or leads to a false conclusion. That's to bear false witness. That is to make somebody think one thing by your action or by your speech or sometimes by your silence and lead them to believe something that is not so, is to bear false witness. Now, we just broadened the scope of the commandment. I mean, tremendously. Amen. And so, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and then, Lord willing, we're going to do the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet," which is just a really nasty commandment. I could have left that out, would have been all right with me. But he put it in, so we have to do it. When the Bible talks about bearing false witness, there's all kind of ways it can be done. It's been done by all kind of people for all kind of reasons under all kinds of circumstances. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18, we have people that are pretenders. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips." You understand what the verse said? "He that hideth hatred with lying lips." I can't stand Mark. Makes me sick to my stomach. He's disgusting. There's not one thing about him I like. I hate him. But for political reasons, for social reasons, for financial reasons, I cover it up, buddy, and I pretend I like him. I butter him up and I'm friends with him. I lie like a dog. Because inwardly, I detest him. Outwardly, we're pals. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips." That's what? That's bearing false witness. That's giving witness to something that is not so. It's not only hypocrisy. It's not only duplicity. It's to lie like a Persian rug. Amen. Now, the truth is, I do like Mark. And I just use him as an example because he's so easy. Now, let me tell you why I use Mark for an example. if I used you or you or you, probably you'd be gone. You'd be mad at me by now. You would have taken it personally, and out the door you'd have been gone. Mark's tough. That's one of the reasons I really do love him and like him. But you see, false witness is anything you do to give a wrong impression or cause people to draw a wrong conclusion. And so, if I butter him up and I act like I really like him and all this, that, and the other, he draws the conclusion of what? Why, preacher and I are friends. When inwardly, every time I see him, I just want to regurgitate. You know? That's hiding hatred with lying lips. That's a dirty, rotten thing to do to somebody. Amen? It displays a tremendous lack of character to do that. Because that means you will sell out for social advantage or for money or for political gain. Whatever your motive was in pretending to be his friend when in reality you didn't like him, whatever you sold out for, that's your price. Amen. It's like the... I'll excuse this illustration, but it's one of the best I ever heard. This gentleman asked a woman if she would stay with him for the night for $1 million, to which she readily consented. He said, "Well, would you stay the night with me for $1? She said, "What kind of woman do you think I am?" He said, "We've already established that. We're just haggling over price." So at whatever point you sell out, that's who you are. That's your character level. Do you have a price? Would you pretend to be somebody's friend when in reality you couldn't stand the sight of them if it was advantageous? That's to bear false witness. I feel so quiet in here. You guys ought to be saying amen, preacher. That's right. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21, we have people who flatter and make false witness or false statement. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And that's a terrible story over there in Proverbs about a woman who goes out to take unfair advantage of a young man in the evening hours. And it says, with her much flattering, she talked to him. She told him how good looking he was. He was the man of her dreams. He was so macho, so virile, so cool. And she just talked and she talked and talked. And words were like oil off her tongue. And with her flattering, with her much fair speech, she forced him. And this guy ends up committing terrible sin. Now, flattery is making a false statement. It is not the same as a compliment. You understand the difference? To compliment somebody is to tell them and to acknowledge that they've done something or that you appreciate and that is a good thing or something above and beyond the ordinary, and to pay them a compliment, there's nothing wrong with that. My wife is an excellent cook. Anybody that's ever eaten in my house will attest to that. I doubt seriously, anybody ever had a bad meal in my house? Besides you. She's an excellent cook. And when she cooks something, boy, I mean, she can fix the best macaroni and cheese, the best lasagna. It's a wonder I don't weigh 500 pounds. That's one of the reasons, yeah. Now, if she cooks a good meal, and I sit down and eat it, and I say, "Sweetheart, that was delicious." That's a compliment, right? And that's honest and that's sincere, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you go in and you go overboard, "Oh, that was just the best thing I ever ate. Nobody can do that like you." And it's on and on and on. What are they? They're flattering you. Now, why do people do that? Why do people flatter? Why would not a sincere compliment have been enough? Well, it's because they got a bad motive. They want you to invite them back for a second time. Or it was so bad, they're embarrassed. And so they just lie about it. See, they don't want to hurt your feelings. And so they go overboard trying to make you think it was good. In either case, it's what? It's a lie. It's bearing false witness. I hate people that flatter. It's nauseating. Sincere compliment ought to be enough. Amen? Now sometimes I go overboard about my wife's cooking, but honest, I'm not flattering. The woman's just really good. You are, sweetheart, honest. You're probably the best I've ever seen. Watch the flattering tongue. The guy's after something. And you ought to have enough common sense to be able to discern between an honest compliment and flattery. And when somebody starts flattering you, you know you're dealing with a liar. You know you're dealing with somebody with an ulterior motive. You know you're dealing with somebody who is dishonest. Keep your eye on them. Somebody say amen. In Acts chapter 21, or in Acts chapter 24, verse 1 through 9, we have examples of false witness through exaggeration. In Acts chapter 24, Paul is talking, and he's talking to the Jews, and the Jews accused Paul. It said he is a mover of sedition among the Jews and throughout the whole world. Now, was that true? Of course it wasn't true. Had Paul literally turned the whole wide world upside down? For crying out loud, he never left Asia Minor. What did they do? They made a false statement through exaggeration. They took a kernel of truth and just blew it up. Made a mountain out of a molehill. Now, boy, it's easy to do that. Now, people say, well, you preachers do that all the time. Don't you know the difference between ministerial exaggeration and lying? There's an art to preaching. You have to be able to hang things out in word pictures so that everybody at every age level can get it. And you have to be able to take an ordinary sequence of events in life and illuminate them in such language as to keep people's attention focused on it so that they draw a moral conclusion from whatever you're talking about. That's the art of illustration. And that does, in some sense, involve exaggeration. But it's not exaggeration to deceive. There's a vast difference. The exaggeration we're talking about is the exaggeration that where the intent and the purpose in it is to trick you or deceive you regarding something or some circumstance. So, and I know it's a thin red line there, but you have to make a distinction, and you should make a distinction, and it is a legitimate distinction between the art of storytelling for illustration and practicing exaggeration to deceive somebody. That's pretty weak amen there. Should I go over this point again? I think I better move on right now. But I think. Hook that rope around that stump one more time. There's false accusation, lying through false information. In 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18, there's an old prophet there, a preacher, who lies to another preacher and gets him killed. Because God told this guy, he said, I want you to go someplace, deliver a message, and come back. And he said, I don't care who speaks to you. He said, don't you stop, don't talk to them, don't eat with them. You go, and you come right straight back. And so this guy goes, and this preacher gets him, waylays him, and said, listen, an angel of the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you to come in and have dinner with me. And so the young preacher said, well, if the angel of the Lord said it, okay. And so he goes in. Of course, the angel of the Lord didn't tell him. God wasn't in it. The old man just lied. And when the young man leaves, a lion attacks him and kills him. That fella got killed because he listened to a preacher who delivered false information. what he said so was patently untrue. He hadn't talked to the angel of the Lord. God hadn't given him a message. He just lied like a dog. The Bible said, try the spirits for, now listen, many false prophets have entered into the world. You know who's killing more people than you can possibly imagine these days? It's not the armies of the world. It's not highway fatalities. It's not even dope. It's not even AIDS. You know who's ruining more lives and destroying more people? Lying preachers. Because they not only can't keep them alive physically, they damn them spiritually. Now, there's some people on TV and on the radio I'd like to see just drop dead and go on and be done with it. Say, who's that preacher? Oh, Benny Hinn. If Benny Hinn died tomorrow, it'd be okay with me. I wouldn't shed a tear. I'd say, thank God. If Oral Roberts died in the morning, I'd say, well, glory to God. If A.A. Allen died, I think he's already dead. What's that other guy? Shambach. Shambach dies tomorrow. That's a glory to God. Another one out of the way. If Jim Baker dies in the morning, I said, what took you so long, Lord? He said, why? Because all them guys are false prophets. They're deceiving people. They're lying. And the worst lie you can tell is a spiritual lie. Do you have any idea how easy it is to put thoughts and ideas and concepts into people's head before they have them? When their mind is void on a particular subject. Whatever they first read, whatever they first hear, that's what they tend to adopt, and it sticks with them forever. Once you get that thing in their head, that was easy. Getting it back out is near impossible. Benny Hinn and them boys get up there and lie and say, God told me this and God showed me that and God caught me away in the spirit. And God didn't do any of that stuff. They just lie like a Persian rug, son. God ain't in the business running around snatching people up and sticking them down the back seat of people's cars and all that stuff. Oral Roberts didn't see an 800-foot Jesus. They just lie. They damn souls with their dirty, stinking lying. Now people say, no, preacher, you ought to be careful. The Bible said, touch not mine anointed. Well, I ain't. I'm going home tonight and sleep like a baby. It is not going to bother me for 10 seconds that I said anything about Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart and the rest of that bunch of idiots. Amen. I'm not going to go home and worry and fear and quake if God's going to kill me in my sleep. Listen, if I wake up dead in the morning, don't you ever think it's because God killed me for talking about Oral Roberts. It's because my heart was bad. Amen. Now, if we're talking about Bob Gray or somebody like that, I might be worried. But them fakers, don't you ever hesitate to tell them what they are and tell other people what they are. Jesus Christ never did. People say, well, now you shouldn't talk about other people's religion. I know I'm getting away from the subject, but I'll get back in a minute. Listen, Jesus Christ badmouthed religious leaders his whole life. Got them Pharisees down there and said, you generation of vipers. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Now today we're afraid to say anything. Well, you ought not to be afraid. You ought to just say it. If it's so, say it. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. When thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay it. When you give your word about something, you ought to do it. That Bible said, keep thy word to thine own hurt. That's the reason you ought to be slow to speak, quick to hear. Let not thy mouth cause thy flesh to sin. Amen? So why? Because in Ecclesiastes 5, where he's talking about when you make a vow, defer not to pay it, and he said, and say not unto the angel, it was a joke, you know. I was just kidding. God didn't take it as a joke. God took it serious. You gave your word, God expects you to keep it. Amen? You tell God, Lord, if you give me a pay raise, I'm going to give you 15% of it. Bless God, you better come up with 15%. So why not? Well, if you don't, one, you're a liar. Two, you've robbed God. And God'll get it. Say, where's he going to get it? Well, it might be down at the local hospital, but he'll get it. You're not going to get to enjoy it, I'll tell you that. You get to keep it for a week or 2 weeks or a month or maybe 6 months, and then God will collect the whole fund. You know what God did one day? Do you know? Does anybody here know why Israel spent 400 years in bondage? Why did they stay down in Egypt 400 years? Because for all those years, I mean, why they were in Babylon 70 years, I got the story all mixed up. They were in Babylon 70 years. Why were that? Because for 400 years, they didn't tithe. They didn't give God His due. And God worked that thing out. It took 70 years of Sabbaths to make up them 400 years. God got every dime they ever owed Him. Now, He waited and He waited and He waited. But time came when He got it. If you owe God, you better pay it. Because sooner or later, God gets it. Amen. And I'm not preaching on tithing, but boy, if you made a vow, if you said, Lord, give me that job, I'll give you 15%, or whatever it was, or you say, you go to a meeting, and God gets all over you and say, Lord, I'm going to pray 30 minutes every day. And you start out praying 30 minutes every day, and then in a week or two, it's down to 15 minutes, and then another week or two, it's down to 5 minutes, and pretty soon you've forgotten all about it. God didn't forget. You made a vow. If you opened your mouth and committed yourself to God, then you better keep your word. You don't want to be found making false statements to God. The one person you don't want to lie to is God. For example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They own a piece of land. They sell it. They say, well, now we got this much money for it, but what we'll do is we'll tell them we only got this much, and then we'll only give them a tithe off of what we said. So they sold it for $5,000, told them they sold it for $2,500, and gave $250 offering. They kept the rest. Peter looked at him and said, why, Satan, fill thine heart to lie unto God? And he fell down dead. And down in verse 8, about 3 hours later, his wife comes in. Peter said, did you sell that land for this much? She said, yep, for that. That's the amount we got. And she fell down dead. They wrapped her up, took her out, and buried her beside her husband. So why? Because they lied. About what? About business dealings. He told me, he said, now, while it was yours, it was yours. And after you sold it, was it not in thine own power? Of course it was. They could have kept it. They didn't have to lie about it. They could have said, we got $5,000 for it, but we got a lot of expenses and we're only going to put $250 in the plate. But they lied. And it cost them their life. Now, if God was still doing that today, buddy, be a scary place around here, wouldn't it? Well, you may have business dealings, and especially business dealings with God, you better be scrupulously honest. To bear false witness, to lie about it, can get you dead. Amen? And at the very least, it's going to catch up with you to judgment one of these days, because you're going to have to give an account for every idle word. Now, bearing false witness is a terrible thing. I got hurried on. Did you ever think about this? Nobody has to be taught to lie. In Psalm 58, verse 3, it said, they come forth from the womb speaking lies. You have to learn to be honest. I've heard parents scold children and say, where did you learn to lie like that? No, you got it wrong. They were born knowing how to lie. It's your job to teach them to be honest. You ever hear parents say, I trust my children. I know my children. My children wouldn't lie. You know you're talking to an idiot. You're talking to somebody that ain't got enough brains to breathe by themselves. You need to get them locked up. They are certifiably mentally deranged. All kids lie. All kids lie. All of them. Mine, yours, your next door neighbor, your son, your daughter, all of them. They lie. And boy, it's a hard, long task to teach them to be honest. It's a concept they have to be taught because their natural instinct is when I'm in trouble or I'm up against it or I feel threatened, I cover my backside. And I'll tell you whatever I got to tell you to keep me safe. That comes as natural as breathing. To develop character to stand up and take your licks for what you've done is a learned lesson. Amen. Nobody ever had to learn to lie. Listen, over in Genesis 12:18, Abraham lies. In 1 Samuel 21:13, David lies. In 1 Samuel 15:21, King Saul lies. In Genesis 44:2, Joseph lies. In Matthew 26, Peter lies. Those are all good men. Those are all men that loved God. Yet they found themselves in a position, in a circumstance, where they lied. And I guarantee you, there's not a person in this room that's made it the last 6 months that has not borne false witness in some way or another. You say, well, preacher, I haven't told any lies. No, but have you led anybody to make false conclusions? Have you given anybody a false impression? Have you exaggerated a thing beyond all reason and measure? You know what you did? You lied. You lied. And then people say, well, preacher, I don't need to pray because I haven't done anything wrong. That's like the fellow's mother-in-law was coming to visit him. And when he hung up the phone, he told his wife, he said, sweetheart, hide the silverware and stuff. She said, why? She said, well, your mama's coming to visit, and she told me she hadn't sinned in 30 years. I figured anybody that'd lie like that would steal.